Let us turn in our Bibles in Galatians chapter 5, or our bulletins, Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 through 15. Galatians 5, verses 13 through 15 is a short portion today. This is the word of God. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only, do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you with weakness, understanding that your word, this is your word, and can only be understood through the power of the Holy Spirit. We come before you understanding that you are the one who give us the faith to trust that this is your word, and the one who applies your word in our lives through the power of the Holy Spirit. So we pray that as we consider these verses, that you will speak to our hearts, deep in our souls, helping us not only understanding what this passage says with our brains, but also deep in our hearts, that it will have an effect in our souls. And we pray for those that are getting close to understanding the gospel, that you will send the Holy Spirit also to their hearts, and that they will come to faith in you, trusting in you, Lord Jesus, for salvation as well. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Freedom is a right of every human being, or at least it should be a right of every human being. Yet, it is more like a privilege. Think about it. It is a right that every human being has that was created by God, but it is more like a privilege depending where you are around the world, or where you are located, or your circumstances, or your place in history. It is more like a privilege because of sin, because of the fallen nature of human beings. Some people throughout history, even in our present time, have oppressed other people, restricting their freedom. And that has made people have to fight for their freedom. People have to stand for their freedom, because there are always somebody trying to oppress others, taking away their freedom from them. And as we have been looking at this letter, the letter of Galatians, it is not so difficult to notice that Paul is emphasizing a lot on this theme of freedom. And it is because those who came to faith in Christ in these churches, the Galatian churches, they understood that Christ has given them this freedom. And there was a group of people that came to them from other regions, preaching a different gospel, teaching to them that Christ alone was not enough to make them children of God, but that they needed to be circumcised and to keep the law in order to be saved. So they were stealing their freedom from them. And Paul was deeply concerned that this was moving them away from the foundation of the gospel, which is faith in Christ alone. And Dr. Ryken, who was actually here with us today, have in his commentary of Galatians this sentence: the epistle to the Galatians is the Magna Carta of Christian liberty, and liberty must always be defended from its two great enemies, legalism and license. And this is basically what Paul is doing right now here in these verses. He's been focused on making sure that the Galatians were not taken by the legalistic views of the Judaizers and abandoned their freedom that they have in Christ. But now he's turning to the other problem, which is license, which is not understanding that freedom and therefore doing things that were not according to that freedom. And that's what Paul is doing in these three verses. Now, this is a short portion of the scripture, but in these three verses, Paul tells us at least five things regarding this freedom. He gives us a reminder. He gives us an exhortation. Then he gives us an instruction. Then a motivation. And then a warning. He closes with a warning. So it is a reminder, an exhortation, an instruction, a word of motivation, or he's motivating us. And then he closes these three verses with a warning. So let's look at first, what is the reminder that Paul gave to the Galatians that is given to us as well today? The reminder is simple. It's the first sentence that you see there in verse 3. You were called to freedom. You were called to freedom. In chapter 5, Paul starts with a similar sentence. He says in verse 1, for freedom Christ has set us free. For freedom Christ has set us free. And then he says, stand firm therefore and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. Again, Paul is deeply concerned that the Galatians would not stand firm against those who were trying to steal the freedom from them. But when we think about freedom, and Paul is saying here, you are called to freedom, you have to ask the question, freedom from what? Freedom about what? What is that freedom about? So first of all, it is very important that when you look at this sentence, when he says you were called to freedom, he's putting right in the center of the message of the gospel, freedom. Freedom is foundational for the message of the gospel. This past week, as we were Bible study, some of you guys were with me, and I was asking the question, what is the gospel? And everybody gave a different answer. And all of them, in a sense, was right, because they were basing their answer in what they have learned from the gospel, what they have learned from the word of God. But sometimes, if you look around the room and all of these different answers, only one person was touching in this point about freedom. When you were called to be a Christian, you were called to freedom. That's foundational in the message of the gospel. And what is that freedom about? Well, I think that a good way to look at this is by looking at what Paul himself says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. There are at least four things that we can consider that Christ has set us free. One of them, and the first one that I will mention, will be freedom from the curse of the law. Why? Because this being the main point in Paul's letter to the Galatians. The Judaizers were sending the Galatians to depend on the law again. But the law of God says if you want to rely on the law, you have to keep the whole law. And because there is no one who can keep the whole law, everybody is cursed then by the law, is condemned by the law. When you read from Ephesians chapter 2, in verse 8, Paul says this word, says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Salvation is by grace, through faith, and it is not through works. It depends on the work of Christ on the cross, who fulfills the law. On the cross, he received And you have heard this many times, the punishment that you and I deserved. And his righteousness was counted as our righteousness. Therefore, we as believers, as we have trusted in Jesus, we are now under the curse of the law. So Christ set us free from the curse of the law. But also, when we think about the gospel, when Paul says you were called to freedom, Christ set us free from the dominion of our flesh. If you go with me again in Ephesians chapter 2, in verse 3 says, among whom we all once lived, and this is referring to all of us before Christ, we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind. So our flesh, and our flesh refers to our sinful nature, our fallen nature, had control over our lives, had, past tense, before we became Christians. It doesn't mean that our flesh is erased, that Christians don't struggle with having a sinful nature, but it means that our flesh, our sinful nature, do not control our lives. And you can see that describing what Paul says in Romans chapter 7, where he describes his own struggle with his own passions, with his own flesh. The difference is that in the believer, there is the presence of the Holy Spirit that fights against your flesh. So, as a Christian, when you were called to freedom, you were set free from the dominion of your flesh. But also, you were set free from the devil. If you go back to Ephesians, and I read from verse 1, it says, and you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. Whether people believe it or not, anybody who is not a believer, anybody who is not yet a Christian, a follower of Jesus, is actually following what is described here as the prince of the power of the air, which is the devil. But once you put your faith in Christ, you have been called to freedom. You are no follower of the prince of the power of the air, because he is at work in whom? In the sons of disobedience. The sons of disobedience refer to those who are not yet Christians. So you have been set free then from the curse of the law, then from your flesh, the dominion of your flesh, and then from the devil, but you also are set free from the world. Go back with me to Ephesians 2:1. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins. And see, this is past tense. This is Paul is describing who you were, if you are a Christian today, who you were before you became a Christian. You were dead in the trespasses and sins. It says, in which you once walked, following the course of this world. And the course of this world, it refers to the sinful system that you find in this world. So these four things were your slave master, or is your slave master if you have not trusted in Jesus yet. The law that keeps you condemned, your flesh that controls all what you do, whether you realize it or not, you are a slave of your desires. The devil who has this agenda that people will be against God and the world. But you were set free. So, Paul remind the Galatians and remind us that you and I were set free. That is at the center of the gospel. When you think about what are the good news for you, for yourself, that you need to remember every day, is that God, through Christ, set you free from these four enemies that you had. And when you share this with others, you can bring this as good news to others. The thing is that people in the world do not realize that they are slaves of the or under the curse of the law because they don't recognize the law. People in the world, they will not recognize that they are slaves of their sinful nature. They don't even know what a sinful nature is, and they don't realize that they are actually following the devil and slaves of the world. But the good news is that through Christ, you can be set free from these four things. Now, after Paul reminded them of this, which is the reminder, now he moved to an exhortation. And the exhortation is what he says afterwards. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. The Greek word that we have here translated as opportunity comes from a military term that refers to a base of operation. Think about this. The idea is that we must not allow sin to use our freedom in Christ to launch spiritual attacks against us. When he says, do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, is that don't think that because Christ set you free from the law, now you can use that as an excuse, as an opportunity for letting your flesh that still is in us as Christians, our sinful nature, to take control of our lives and do whatever we want, whatever it wants with us. So remember that sentence that I tell you at the beginning, that there is this risk in which, or these two enemies that our freedom, our Christian liberty has, legalism and license. On the one hand, there will be always voices, whether in your mind or whether outside there, that will tell you that you need to do this and that in order to be accepted before God. But on the other hand, there will be people, voices outside there, or even your own thinking, that will tell you that because you have been set free by Christ, you can live however you want. In fact, my experience back in Colombia sharing the gospel with people who believe that salvation was by works is every time I bring that salvation was by grace and through Christ, by faith in Christ alone, they will say, okay, so it means that you can live however you want. It gives you license to live however you want. But Paul here is telling you the both things. He's saying, you were called to freedom. That's a reality of the message of the gospel. As a Christian, you have been set free. But at the same time, only do not use this freedom as a base of operations, like a military base of operations, for your flesh. Do not let flesh take control because you understand that you have been set free through Christ. And that is Paul's exhortation for the Galatians. He knew that they were hearing a legalistic message, but we don't know, maybe he also knew that some of the Galatians have used the message of the gospel as an excuse to live however they want. Maybe he didn't know that about them. Maybe he just foresee that that could be a problem for some people, including us today, who could think that because we have been set free through Christ, now we can live however we want. So in order to address that, what Paul does is he gives us the third thing, which is an instruction. He says, for you were called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. This word that we have translated here, serve, comes from the Greek word that translates as slavery, as a slave. So serve as a slave. Serve as a slave. So instead of pleasing your flesh which is self-centered. So your flesh, our flesh, our sinful natures, is self-centered, is focused in pleasing our desires. Serve as a slave whom? One another. Serve as a slave your brother. So what you see here, Paul is making a clear contrast between one thing and the other. You either please yourself and you are self-centered and focus in your desires that are moved by your sinful nature, or you are other-centered, which is when you go and reach out to those that are around you and you love them and serve them. Because the foundation of this service is not as to please God so he could grant us salvation, but the motivation of this service is love. Instead of serving yourself and loving yourself in the sense of pleasing your desires, sinful desires, you look at others and in love you serve them. Think about the contrast here. Freedom. You were set free. But Paul is saying to you and to me, don't go back to slavery by being a slave of your sinful nature. When you do that, when you use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but on the contrary, use that freedom that God has given to you through in love, serve others. This is why you see that the title of this sermon is Free to Love. Because the power of the Holy Spirit, what the power of the Holy Spirit does in our lives when we are regenerated, when we are transformed, is that we are able to see the person that we have next to us and love them and serve them because we stop serving and serve our sinful natures. Then after this reminder, exhortation, and instruction, Paul moves to give us a motivation. How can we be motivated about this loving those who are next to us? Well, he uses the Bible. He uses words of our Lord Jesus Christ from Mark 12, verses 30 to 31, when he says, "For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." So what is the motivation here? The motivation is, do you want to please God? Not to be saved, but because you are thankful for what he has done to you, that he sent his only son to give you eternal life and he has set you free. Do you want to please God? Well, you fulfill that by doing one thing, and that thing is to love your neighbor as yourself. A lot has been said about this verse, especially people that are trying to encourage self-love or encourage like self-esteem, as if what Christ commanded and what Paul commanded here is that you need to start first by loving yourself. Love yourself. That's what you have to do first. Because if you don't love yourself, you cannot love others. I heard this so many times when people were trying to encourage others who have low self-esteem or who didn't care much about themselves to say, the Bible is teaching you that you need to love yourself first. But actually, this is not what Paul is saying here. This is not what Jesus was saying. What Jesus and Paul were saying here is that as much as you want people to do to you, you do to others. As much as you want people to care about you, you care about others. Because we'll try our best to care about ourselves, to feel about ourselves. That comes very natural in human beings. It's true that some people might need an encouragement in that area in their lives, but most of us work hard to care about ourselves. But what is difficult is actually to care about others. But what is the standard that we have been given here? The standard that we have been given here is that we do to others what we will desire others to do to us. So this actually defines the way you, through love, serve one another. You serve one another through love in the same way you will love others to serve you and care for you. But what is the motivation? The motivation that Paul is giving to us is that if you do that, you are actually fulfilling the law. Of course, when we look at Mark 12:30 through 31, it's talking about loving God above all and loving your neighbor as yourself. If you fulfill these both commandments, you are fulfilling the law of God. And then Paul closed this little section with a warning. What is the warning? The warning is this: but if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. Bite and devour suggests that they were acting like a pack of wild animals. And we don't know exactly what's the context or the situation. Paul might be speaking about a real issues that were happening within the church, because something we can say at least, that when Paul is talking, when Paul is speaking in verse 15, he's speaking directly to what was going on within the church. They were biting and devouring one another. And what will be the result of that? The warning is that watch out that you consume. You are consumed by one another. Why is that a warning? Is it not so clear that if people are biting and devouring one another, that will end in church division, or that we will be consumed? Because consumed is that we will be destroyed. Well, it is not sometimes that obvious, because many times there is this situation happening within the body of Christ where people are biting and devouring one another, and they don't realize that this will result in that a church, for example, is dissolved. That we are destroying one another. The warning, again, is connected with what we saw in verse 13. Do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. When we are biting and devouring one another, it's because we are using our freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. It's because we are so self-centered that we can no love and care for those that are next to us. John Stott, in a sense, redefined or defined this freedom in this way. He says what it is and what it's not. It is freedom not to indulge the flesh, but to control the flesh. See the difference? It is freedom not to indulge the flesh, but to control the flesh. Because before we were set free by Christ, we did not have that freedom to control the flesh. We were slaves of the flesh, but now we have been set free for that. It is freedom not to exploit your neighbor, our neighbor, but to serve our neighbor. It is freedom not to disregard the law, but to fulfill the law. Everyone who has been truly set free by Jesus Christ expresses his liberty in these three ways. First, in self-control. Next, in loving, serving his neighbor. And thirdly, in obedience to the law of his God. These are words of John Stott. Brothers and sisters, freedom is at the center of the gospel. We need good news every day, right? Because there are plenty bad news out there. Just look around. Don't turn the TV on. You find only bad news. Turn your Bible on. Then you find good news. But what are the good news again? That you have been set free. Only do not use that freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. But love your neighbor as yourself. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you show great love to us as you send your Son, who died on the cross, who gave his last drop of blood for our salvation. We thank you for your grace and mercy, for loving us more than we can imagine. We thank you, Lord, that you set us free, Lord. And today we are free. And we have this good news in our hands, in our mouths. Help us, Lord, to declare this good news to the world who is still in slavery. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.